This is SG Pun, the Stargate Podcast.
Hey, good listeners, welcome back to the Vertical Watering Hole. It's SG Fun, a Stargate podcast. I hope you're here for comfort. That's why I'm here. I'm Sarah, and this is Tori.
Hi, I'm Tori. And just thanks for hanging out. Thanks for being here. We're just vibing here, hanging out on this beautiful sunny day.
Yeah, you should probably be thanking us, but
drinking wine.
Yes.
In various forms, and just relaxing, just relaxing, keeping each other company, comforted, and now we have an X amount of people with us, Sarah. Right now.
And listen, I want you guys to know, I drink for you. I wasn't gonna drink today, but I was in a piss poor mood, and I'm a happy drunk, and I was like, I have a podcast to do, so let's go.
Yeah, let's go. I didn't put the title, but I know the title. Well, we got season 6, episode 6, The Abyss.
Oh, I was just calling it implantation. Because McNeil's all like, I never want to hear that word again after saying he had an implantation.
I feel him. Fuck all of that. Fuck all of this.
It's almost as if like there's like another thing in your body and you don't like that it's implanted in there. You should be able to not have it in there. and look what happens when it's in there and kind of does some shit against your will.
Yeah. You go off on secret operative missions to save like some weird crush.
It feels like you're in an abyss.
Oh. Well, I mean, I felt like the title should be episode 6. Assigning blame is such a host thing to do.
That's cute. I like that. I have the host lives because, I don't know.
The host lives.
Yeah.
Well, I got episode 6. O'Neill does a great 10-minute set for an audience of one.
Yeah. Weird episode. I like this episode. Anyway. I got Jack O'Neill. Wait, hang on, because I can't read my shorthand. Give me 1 second. Oh, Jack O'Neill with 2 L's, : humanity's potential. Because I know that they're friends, but the shit is ridiculous with Daniel Jackson being like, no, you could totally ascend, dude. And he's like, no, I can't.
Dude, totally, bro.
He's like, I would 100% kill every motherfucker out there if I could. And then Daniel Jackson's all like, you're better than that. And I'm like, well, you're judgmental. Why are you ascended? And I would have been exactly like O'Neill. I'd be like, no, I mean it.
Well, along those lines, my next title is episode 6, which I've used in the past, but it's still apt. Episode 6, with friends like these, ...
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I just have bocce ball.
Bocce! Why that sport?
Right? They probably sat around the writer's room and said, which ball sport is the funniest sounding? And people were like, bocce! Because it was like before the bocce ball craze and the baton craze of like, what? I want to say, it's the French one. Like, I want to say of baton. Like 13 years ago, 15 years ago. Mm. I can hear myself getting really high pitched right now. I will rein that. I'll rein that in. It happens to me sometimes.
All right.
Should have heard me in high school. Sound like a guinea pig all this time.
Well, it aired July 19th, 2002. Directed by Martin Wood and written by Brad Wright, one of the showrunners. So close to the heart, this episode. Mm-hmm. Probably because Daniel Jackson's in it.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know what I meant to do this time, finally, is just do the minimal research into just typing into Google or into Copilot, asking, why did Michael Shanks leave Stargate? Because we've made a lot of assumptions about it.
We've said so many things.
We've said so many things we don't know. And I was like, it must all be fine because he came back to be on this episode.
Six episodes probably, in.
It was probably an extremely friendly agreement where he was like, I just want to see what happens if I spread my wings, but I don't want to be pushed fully out of the net. And they were like, dude, we're so supportive. Yes.
Yeah.
And that is probably the extent of the drama.
Yeah, it feels safe to assume that there wasn't too much bad blood involved.
Yeah.
Right.
To be fair, you're the one who started the rumor at me that it was because he didn't like the direction his character was going.
Well, no, I think I read that somewhere. See, that's the problem. I do research this stuff, I just forget about it.
Oh yeah, sure. You know what? I didn't do any research, so I can't blame you. We're in season 6, and I have yet to Google that. Despite the fact that we've talked about it every single season.
Well, that's not for us to do. We're just the talent, you know. We should, you know, our good listeners should do the hard work for us.
Well, I mean, I listened to, you know, another podcast did a single episode on this show, and I was like, wow, these are great fun facts about the show. I love it.
Wow, yeah, informative.
I was like, I'll go back to my podcast. I'll credit them, but I'm going to repeat that. That's great.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, let's really get into... Ooh. No.
Stop.
We can't do it. Well, there's this thing going on. There's this alarm blaring.
Oh, I can hear it.
Attacked.
Sorry. I had my AirPods in.
They gave you our address as well. And apparently I, Tori, have 24 seconds to summarize this episode.
Okay, and I, Sarah, am totally, once again, 100% already prepared. Okay, I am. Actually, ready, go.
So,
we're
Jack,
gonna die.
So Jack, you remember Jack, he was infested? Well, yeah, he's now there, but the thing goes away while they're being chased. He gets kidnapped by Ball's forces, and Ball tortures him to get this information the whole episode. The gang's trying to help. So is DJ? Not really. He's there in angelic form and won't do shit. His other best friends actually make a whole plan to get him out, and he gets out himself, and it's done. I feel that was pretty good.
That was good. And you beat the
and timer. I hit the themes, the real themes that I wanted to hit.
Can I submit another title for this episode?
Please.
Infestation. You referred to Jack O'Neill as having an infestation.
I did.
And that
not
is...
implantation.
No, infestation.
Weird.
As usual, our chat, like our alt titles are better when we're not trying to come up with alt titles.
All right.
Which is how this started. It started with our first episode going like, listen, these titles are bullshit. All right. Are we ready?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's dive in. Okay, so we get a previously on, and immediately I know we're going to find out what I wanted to know last episode is what happened to Tok'ra plus McNeil.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good that they had a recap because, you know, we were separated by one episode, two episodes,
and
so that's nice.
I had missed where they took him to their Tok'ra base in the world's biggest pelican box.
Yeah.
Pelican case. I say pelican box.
That's just claustrophobia all over. That's just like, ugh, that's disgusting. And they
is there air in there?
And they do also, in the recap, not show him giving consent in any form, which I talked about on that episode.
Can we talk about his coerced consent?
Well, his coerced non-consent. Like, he doesn't even get, like, again, Carter, there was no head nod. There was no, maybe he winked.
You're right. I forgot about that. Carter just looked at his face and said, yeah, you know what? Something about his eyes says yes to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw a yes in his eyes.
Yeah. But I guess we'll find out later that he sort of remembers doing that.
He feels like it was his idea, not his idea, his choice. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Idea's too strong.
Like, they talked up this Kanan Goa'uld as a pretty awesome rebel fighter. So I'll
do
my part.
Matt, like, listen, the first thing we see is Tok'ra Goa'uld, we don't know, running through a forest, very dark scenery with a lady with a great pixie cut. I can't make it. You hide here until I open the trap eye. Goes to the dial home device and then stands as widely as possible to make it him, to make himself a big target, and gets shot like in the back of like the right shoulder there.
Mm-hmm.
Falls to the ground face first. Then we see a lobster crawl out, and I'm like, that's some like, that's like host abandonment. Am I right?
Yeah.
Like
what a coward.
The fuck? And I'm like, is that little thing going to somehow, like, I literally thought this is somehow that little thing going to get through, like finish dialing and get through.
Nice.
But I think just like, what happened just was. Yeah. I think what had actually happened was like, it was like, I have all this info. I'm going to crawl away and die to save pixie cut. And it flips over and it is McNeil.
It's McNeil. What are you doing here? What are you doing here in British Columbia?
Beautiful British Columbia. I have to say, just overall, the character, McNeil, way too many like things go through this man's shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
Too many things today in this episode, too many things in previous episodes. I'm just like, Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's actually a good thing he goes in the sarcophagus because... and had a symbiote because like his shoulders, damn. What you be thinking like, it really sucks. I'm having all this damage done to my body now that I don't have one of those.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't even get to like wake up and enjoy like, I feel great. Nothing hurts, you know? And if I had a symbiote, why wouldn't like my skin like heal in the sense that my wrinkles would go away and just this little part along my jawline would be like hot. Again,
we found the secret.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, people would definitely get those.
Oh yeah, they buy it. They probably already exist.
Like, I think I feel like
probably several in the Hollywood Hills, just like, weird sarcophagi, alien machines, Illuminati.
Yeah, I was gonna say like Rio and LA, right? Nothing but. All right.
Well, yeah.
And we also see on the screen we see guest starring Michael Shanks.
Yes.
Because I watched the intro because you told me. 5 episodes to watch the intro.
Oh yeah, isn't it awesome?
Sure.
What? It's got so much action. It's got action.
It is. You know, it's got a fun split screen.
Yeah. True. Well, yeah, we get a brief vision of O'Neill in the sarcophagi, getting that sweet sarcophagi love. But mm-hmm. then we go immediately to the base
mm-hmm.
where they got a signal and it's the Tok'ra coming through.
Yeah.
And it's that dude from the episode previously who was apparently Kanan's best bud.
And daddy's like, I don't give a shit about your best friend. I'm pissed off. Where the fuck is my best friend? I wish.
Yeah. He's looking at his watch. He's like, hey, how long is this going to take? And you guys, they basically apparently haven't been answering the phone.
And apparently, like, I mean, like, what the fuck? Like, I can't even believe they let it happen outside of the mountain. And I guess it was to set up this episode, but it is bonkers to me that they gave McNeil to the Tok'ra.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yeah, you can bring that little bitch over here.
Yeah. Yeah. They should have done
They're just like, all right. And
he wouldn't have escaped there.
Yeah. And daddy's like, where is he? It's been several days. You haven't had somebody willing to like share their body with somebody who could take control anytime they wanted. You haven't still? And always, by the way, always will be like fighting some kind of war. Can never just be like, this is kind of okay and chill.
Well, yeah, no, this guy, Counselor Torin.
Torin? What was it? Did you say Corin?
Torin or Joran? Torin. It's one of those. Right. Like this, I can't even with this guy.
He's not that great.
He's like, I don't see any reason to blame any of it. You know, it's just, yeah. This is just how it is. But I will blame O'Neill.
Listen, and his attitude is dog shit. Like, it'd be one thing if he were just kind of surly because, like, his best friend is dead, probably, definitely. But also got focused on the CYA, like, covering his own ass. So,
no, he sucks. And SG-1 is just like, wait a second. Like O'Neill wouldn't, he wouldn't just abandon ship. Like, he did it for you guys. And he's like, no, can't, no, it couldn't have been Kanan. He was like a brother to me.
Oh, yeah. And they're like, well, we think that maybe your Kanan dude, who we've never met, by the way, probably just took over McNeil's body. And oh my God, this freaks this guy out. You're calling him a Gould. And I'm like, yeah, kind of.
Oh yeah. Because he was insinuating that O'Neill took over, and they're like, do we have to explain to you how this works? Like, we know how we're, they got to cut off this relationship. It's over. Fuck the Tok'ra.
No, I have it's like, done. Oh my God. I super hope they do. I know that's going to complicate. Like, I mean, listen, if you can call what Sam and J-Mac have a relationship, this is totally going to complicate it, but I don't.
No. This way, Carter will get rid of two annoying relationships in one go. There we go.
That is true, since her like boyfriend's dead anyway, but yeah. And they're like, oh, well, but what my point was to come and tell you, they're gone. My best friend's gone. You hope is your best friend is gone. And Daddy's like, fuck that.
Yeah.
We don't know that.
No man left behind.
Yeah. And the next thing we see is McNeil getting like sucked onto like a weird metal web with some guy who's like, I am ball.
Oh man.
And that's fun because no matter what's going on, McNeil's like, you're ball. Just ball.
Ball. I love balls. That's my favorite hobby. Just bouncing balls.
Yeah, that's true. That is what he does.
Like, he didn't have to say bocce. He was just like, yeah, my favorite pastime.
Mean Little Red Rubber? Yeah, I'm into it.
Throwing
that
against the garage door, man. Well, Ball has a favorite sport, which is pin the knife into the prisoner's chest.
Yeah, shoulders, man.
he's doing that in this weird gravity well thing. And he wants to get some of that info.
And McNeil's like, bitch, you tell me what's happening.
Which, yeah, I believe O'Neill.
Oh, me too.
He's just like, I really don't know.
It's super. And then I hadn't noticed this because I guess I wasn't paying attention. But the second or third knife, he's not throwing those knives. He's just holding them in the air and letting go.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, is that shit a magnet?
It's pretty awesome.
And here's what's annoying is I don't think it is. It's like gravity.
Oh, yeah. It's gravity manipulation. Apparently Ball.
But like nobody else, but like only the knife is being pulled. Is it like a really heavy knife? Because like nothing else in the room is.
No, yeah. There's got a threshold. You know, O'Neill's in it. That's why he's like up against the grate.
Okay. So like,
it's cool.
Okay. Sure. Listen, I think Kanan loved that lady.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was like, they're in love. And then they take McNeil out and they take him back to his cell. And it's the coolest dungeon shit I've ever seen. He stands in. Well, they throw him in. Fortunately for him, they throw him in feet first. On his back, and then the gravity situation shifts only in the cell, so that now he's in a pit looking up. I'm like, oh, that's devastating.
Yeah, although he doesn't really try, there's some handholds there, there's some footholds in that cell. He could have really, there's the arrows that point down to where gravity is. They like slowly
Why do you think there's benches in the cell? And there's like two benches.
Well,
like
Ball's not a monster.
You'd have like a tea party in there or something, or a garden party. Like, I don't understand. There's no bedding, but you don't have to sit on the floor the whole time, but you can sit and stare at an empty space. Do they ever put two people in the cell? There's seating for four.
Which every time, and then every time it twists, you gotta move the benches.
It's so much. So Daniel Jackson shows
Daniel
up.
Daniel Jackson.
Is he real? Is he a hallucination? Odds are he's real. And then we get into a whole situation and I just, listen, I don't know if you took sides in this, but I couldn't be more on McNeil's side. 100% on McNeil's side. So I know he's coming back and there's no way he ever gets to be McNeil's best friend after this, right?
Well, no, probably not.
If that were my best friend, I'd be like, you know what? Kind of fuck being ascended. 100%. 100% saving my friend. Immediately.
Well, yeah, we learn a lot about ascendancy here. One, white is the color of the day. Two, simple garb.
Cream.
And
taupe.
And two, I mean, so he's told, Daniel's been told by the others that he's not allowed to interfere.
Listen, later on, he's like, Jack's like, do it anyway in a future scene. And he's like, I couldn't, if I wanted to, they would stop me. And I'm like, would they though? Cause I've seen one of you fuckers build a Stargate in Major Carter's fucking basement after ordering a bunch of stuff off Amazon.
That's the thing. Like, that guy was an outcast because he did such things. So apparently you can be outcast.
But DJ's like, they would literally stop me. And I don't think that's accurate. Unless he's on probation. Because he's new.
Maybe he's new.
It's like how when I worked at the jail, I didn't swear for the whole first year I worked there because it was a year-long probation.
We also learned that O'Neill... he really doesn't remember much. Like, he wasn't just lying.
No. And he throws a shoe at Daniel, though, to see if he's real. Is it an ugly shoe? Tok'ra, of course, wore ugly shoes. And looks very durable. Goes right through Daniel. This is, who cares? Yes, that's right. He's like, I really don't know. We find through Daniel's a great device to find out what's really going on with McNeil.
And speaking, as you said, Daniel was like, I can't interfere. O'Neill has a great line. He's like, well, you're already interfering.
I know. I've written down consoling versus interference. Like, I mean, from an anthropological standpoint, is he interfering? Probs. Yes.
Well, and he definitely will later. Like, he's having information. Giving information is interfering in a way. So it's like,
listen. When he gets back, I never want to hear this little bitch complain about what the Asgard do ever again. Because he's pulling a full Asgard with like, well, I can't reassure you by letting you know the ways in which I'm interfering. Mm-hmm. I'm just not going to directly do anything, but I'm going to do like all kinds of weird shit to interfere. And then you can wonder if I did it or just be hopeless, you know? Let this be like, I don't know. And then he said, I can help you. And I didn't hear what he said. So I thought he said, I can help you with Sarah. And I thought he was going to go get his college girlfriend, Osiris, and do some kind of messy plan. But I misheard. That's not what happens.
So we sort of learned that Jack sort of remembers it has something to do with one of Ball's slaves. He gets a little bit of a memory coming back. So that sort of starts happening throughout the episode. And then the last thing is that Daniel's like, hey, there's only one way out, my friend. And that's to join the cult.
I also have, I don't want to join your cult, man, later on. Like, stop it.
He just sort of mentions it.
Okay.
His clothing doesn't help. It's like, that's right? Cult clothing, man. Like, what are you doing?
I know.
What is that?
Okay. But yeah, we go to the mountain where Jack's real best friends are really trying to help him out.
Yeah. Like real actual practical help. Not like, but have you prayed? Like, not like, did you pray on it?
Thoughts and prayers. Were they in the equation at all?
I had a college friend who after college called her mom and said she couldn't pay her rent. Like, and her mom was like, I think you should pray. Oh, keep in mind, her parents were wealthy. Cool, huh?
Well, at the mountain, the gang, they're asking questions about Kanan and they're trying to figure out, they're like, maybe he went off to like one of his previous missions. Like, apparently he was hanging out at Zapakna's fleet for a while, but then he was like all over the place. He was everywhere.
What happened to Zapochna?
They don't really say.
I wish this was Zapochna.
I think he's dead.
Shut up. So it's a good week for Daddy, I think. Daddy is just like, dude, fuck you. This guy's like, your little underlings won't let me go back through the gate to go back home. And he's like, yeah, bitch, because you're not going anywhere. He's like, am I a prisoner? He's like, oh, no, dude, you're totally a guest and you're going to be a guest until you give us Kanan's reports that you keep talking about. And he's like, nah. And I think it's Teal'c is like, as per the treaty. Yeah. Huh?
Right.
And I don't know, like, Jesus, like, this guy sucks.
And Teal'c's like, hey, this underling, you know, is threatening physical violence. And Teal'c's like, I just told him not to touch the controls.
I said if he touched the controls, he would be physically harmed. I don't know.
It's up to him.
And he's so disrespectful. Like, he is the Tok'ra are ghouls. Can we just be clear? The Tok'ras are ghouls who are sanctimonious and think that they're so great because when they take a host, they allow the host to talk, like have a say-so sometimes, and like be, but like at any moment they could change their minds. And this is how they think of people who aren't Tok'ra and that they don't know. And Daddy is like, refers to everybody by like their titles and everything. And it's like, fuck you. Like, don't demean everybody like that.
Well, and Daddy's like, I mean, you're not a prisoner. There's so many things you can do. Why don't you make a call? Make the call, you son of a bitch. Get Kanan's like mission reports. We're looking. So do that. Do something real for once with our.
That's what Jonas Quinn points out. Like, oh, you can make calls from here, dude.
Yeah. It's not a one phone call thing. Yeah.
He's like, no, I have to go back and ask in person. And Jonas is like, no, that's not true. I mean, and this is the thing, when you get a gaslighting motherfucker like this, you literally like need a team of people to rebut all their bullshit. So,
we're back with Jack.
Right.
Daniel Jackson.
And, is it just me or like, does Deej sort of suck?
Well, yeah. No, this is where he really gives the pitch for the first time. Yeah. He's like, you know, that this is your only option, Jack. You really should try some meditation. I'll take you through the steps. And Jack's just like, you want to be my Oma?
And he's like, oh, no, because she would say annoying things. Not true. Like me.
That's a true statement.
He's like, I don't say annoying things, which is untrue.
He gets close. But then here's the thing. This is awesome.
He says different annoying things.
This is awesome because Jack does his own thing. But here's the difference. Is that it's completely comprehensible. He goes, though there's a candle burning at my house, nobody's home. totally a metaphor, completely comprehensible, and really communicates something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I believe is accurate in the way he means it. So yeah. I will say my notes for this scene are, is he going to ascend Jack? DJ sucks, sorta, can't decide. And then this sentence I've written down, jack off for worse torture, which I think I just meant Jack. He's been taken off for worse torture. Oh. I just read it and I was like, jack off for worse torture. It's very immature.
Well, yeah, they come back. Daniel just fucked.
Oh, yeah. Daniel's just telling him out. How bad it's. He's just like, oh, I sure don't want to ascend because it's going to get real bad. He is so much like, are you sure? Because you're going to burn in hell if you don't. I mean, I could not baptize you and you could just spend an eternity having bees fly up your asshole and sting you from the inside out. But like, so, you know, or like do your thing. Like, it's fine. And he's like describing how bad the torture is going to be, that the sarcophagus is going to just eat at him and eat at him and eat at him until he's nothing. And then he won't be able to ascend even if he wants to. Jesus Christ. Like, there's nothing worse than going to be tortured other than knowing that it's going to be worse than the last time you're tortured because Daniel just told you.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you know, for any listeners, yeah, Ball makes it quite clear. Yeah, that he can just kill Jack every time and bring him back. He can just.
Oh, we should have mentioned that.
Just revive him every time and just keep doing it.
We're not even sure how many times it's been done at this point.
It's the worst Groundhog Day.
Yeah. Death. Oh my God. That's the title. Why didn't we call that the show?
Well, write it down. Write it down.
I am.
The two dudes come and 90 degree of the gravity and take them out. There's a quick little scene at base. It's really just us seeing the gang just working hard, just pounding that keyboard pavement.
Yeah, a little hint at, wow, whatever motivated Kanan must have been really profound. I'm like, yeah, Lerv.
Yeah, it's sort of Jonah giving the Toker the benefit of the doubt. You know, he's just like, they wouldn't have done it for any other reason. Like,
listen, Jonas Quinn is all green flags.
Now, true. You know, thinks highly of everybody, works hard, loves the Weather Channel. You'll always know what the weather is.
Loves himself, but is also humble. Yeah, is really great at suggesting stuff. Really great at reading the room, in my opinion. So.
Great team player. Man, Jesus. Well, yeah, those best friends are working hard.
Calm. He's calm in a crisis because he doesn't really know anybody that well, so it's not a big deal to him. One could argue he's too calm in a crisis because in the crisis where we first met him, he did just stand there. That's no good. We don't want that. Okay.
Back with O'Neill, he goes on for his second set. It doesn't go as well. Not as many laughs because he's ready to give it all up if he could. He doesn't give a fuck.
And fucking Daniel Jackson's the dumb stuff he's saying to McNeil to try to get him to decide to ascend. I don't know what he said, but I wrote down watching Daniel Jackson is like watching Democrats run for office. They're all They're all higher standard, fight fire with kindling kind of bullshit.
Mm.
Like, because Jack's like, could you just like fucking either kill me or save me? And he's like, no, because like I have ascended and like we don't really do stuff like that or like, you know, smite anybody. And I'm like, poor fucking McNeil's like, but I'm being smited left and right. I'm so, so smited. Like, can you fight smiting with smiting?
Well, also, we should point out, O'Neill's been having visions of the girl from the bit, from the first bit. Pixie cut.
But in a gorgeous dress.
Yeah, this fucking leather, it's incredible.
Like an Alexander McQueen number.
And Daniel can't see her. And I'm like, this is incredible. Like the ascendant has been over ascended. Like,
right. Maybe McNeil could ascend.
And I like this. Like Jack pulls out for the first time ever in the series. He pulls out the best friend card. He's like, the Daniel Jackson I know would do something.
I know. And he's like, oh no, I'm doing something. And he's like, you know what Daniel Jackson is doing?
Scientology.
He's doing like every time I experience like gender harassment or discrimination at work, the men who considered themselves non-toxic would like pull me aside and be like, oh my God, I can't. Like, no, you're right. It is gender-based. No, we totally see it happening. No, we're not gonna like say something. No, we just want to tell you. Does that help?
And then on top of that, put, hey, you can achieve nirvana in less than 30 minutes.
Oh my God. I know.
Just pray and you'll poof out of this proverbial prison.
There was something similar along the lines. Well, if you would quit speaking and acting in this manner, maybe this would go away. And I was like, I can't. And they're like, we think you can. I'm like, I can't. Though the candle's burning, I'm going to kill someone, you know?
Well, and this is where Daniel brings up the sarcophagus and he's like, look, that sweet sarcophagus will fucking kill it. Believe me, I know. It'll make it such so that you can't ascend. And I'm like, wait a second. You did.
Well, he wasn't being murdered every time before he was sarcophagized. He was just addicted. So I thought about that too.
Oh, well, I kind of took it that it changes you, that it wasn't. Okay. I see. Yeah. All right.
Well, and so it changed him, but like, you know, you can change back, you know, like drugs and stuff, I think. But like, this got tense for me because I was like, oh my God, they're deteriorating O'Neill. Oh my God, I am drunk because I forgot to call him McNeil, which I like to call him. And I got worried because I was like, how deteriorated is he already? How many ghosts does he have? This is bad news. Like, are we going to get him back right? Or is he going to be like fucking Asgard and just like a shell of whatever the fuck he's supposed to be?
No, I thought the same. And although at the same time, I'm like, that's cool. That's kind of throughout the whole series, Jack might change a little bit because he's been through a lot of shit.
But I
really like this scene because Jack's like, yeah, no, I would fucking rip open the spaceship, save you. And Daniel's like, you're a better man. He's like, no.
Like, Daniel's like, I would literally murder the person torturing you. And he's like, you're better than that. And I was like, what does that even mean? You're better than that? Better than awesome? Or just like better than you? Because McNeil is in dire peril and Daniel Jackson is like, hey, join my cult. Here's a pamphlet.
Yeah.
We have free classes on Saturdays.
It's the only way out. And then Jack, like, he ominously said, he's like, I have another choice.
Which I'm so slow. I was like, oh, how? What's the plan?
No, I'm a little slow too. Is that suicide? Is that, what is it?
No, yes, it is. He's like, make it so that, like, you can make it so they can't revive me. The subtext is there's something Daniel Jackson can do that apparently isn't so interfering that he doesn't remind him I can't interfere. He just says, make it so I can't come back.
Oh, I see.
Like, make this the last time, or make the last time the last time. Just fucking, you know, if you can ascend me, you can kill me. And he's like, nah. So not only, like, I'm just going to say, not only is he like, if you're not going to join my cult, it's like, he's like, I'm not going to talk to you for a week because, he skips a cell time. He skips seeing Jack for one of his in-between tortures.
Because he had something to do. Apparently, ascendants also have chores.
We leave the scene not knowing, like, with McNeil going back to get tortured more and not knowing Daniel Jackson has done it, if he's made him unrevivable. I really like this episode because the tension, I like, it felt for real. And I almost never feel that on this show.
Nice.
And I also, I guess I care a lot of, like, maybe the most about this character. I just point out that Richard Dean Anderson looks very good and he seems very charming. And I cared very much what happened, despite his past of having a colonial mindset. Indeed.
Indeed. Isn't it?
Well, we do a quick cut to the base where they're just doing homework. Oh man, just super boring. Oh, need some coffee. But Carter gets her Columbo face.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, let's make this not boring, motherfuckers. And she starts hinting around and they're like, what are you saying? And she's like, they banged.
Yeah. Apparently in one of the briefings, Kanan talked about the Lotar of Baal, the super slave. He used her to get the information. And through that, Carter's like, they fell in love. They're very passionate. They're very passionate race, the Tok'ra.
Yeah. And then I was like, I don't know, because it got a little bit questionable. And I like that they left it questionable because, you know, once he got combined with McNeil, his like never leave anyone behind probably kicked in and made Kanan go. But then I don't know. I was like, I don't know for sure. So like, I don't know if Kanan was motivated himself and he was motivated by love, or if it was sort of like a, oh, I shouldn't leave this military interpreter behind to get murdered in their own country because McNeil joined with him, or if he would have figured that out on his own, because we got a whole, like, he used us both about to come out of McNeil's mouth.
Oh,
or maybe Ball's mouth. Can't remember. But like, and I was like, God, yeah, he did. He's a user. I don't know.
I mean, yeah. Like we cut to O'Neill. He's getting tortured again.
Or he's getting threats. He's getting torture threats. Can we talk about like the level of torture he's endured at this point? There's some weird acid that apparently also is impacted by gravity.
Yeah.
Listen, remind me, were they doing magnetic and gravitational experiments? I think so. Because that helps me a lot, because otherwise, I think they were. There were two things they were doing. And so it's like magnetic acid or something. And so all he does is like, he like takes the pipette and he like squeezes it and a little drop full of the acid goes in the air and it just flies. For some reason, the whole bottle on the desk doesn't. But once it's out of the pipette, it just flies at McNeil and then like lands on his chest and like eats through his shirt. His shirt looks very cool by the end, but like eats through his shirt, eats through his skin, and then like will exit out of his skin, but a little bit's going to stay in his blood and kill him slowly.
Yes. Apparently.
Boy, that sounds like dog shit. Like, have you ever had like an IV antibiotic?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Burns, and it's like quote unquote good for you.
And O'Neill's like, look, man, like, yeah, Kanan, like, he used both of it. Like, I would not have come back here at all. And Ball's like, yes, we are both victims.
Anyway, I'm gonna torture you to death again. Yeah, we're both victims.
It's gonna keep going. It's gonna keep going.
Yeah,
man.
He's like, he's both good cop and bad cop. At some point, I was just like, McNeil needs a way stronger safe word. Then I don't know, because the shit gets so fucking out of hand. Yeah. That'd be a funny safe word, balls.
It could get confusing in certain
circumstances. I feel like coming up with a safe word is a difficult thing. I feel like that there probably is, but I think a great AI generator would be just like, there's all kinds of things, like Donald Glover got Childish Gambino from his Wu-Tang Clan name generator. Did I have that right? Like, what if there was one that was just like safe word generator, so you don't have to feel so stupid?
Oh, nice.
Coming up with like a Cabbage Patch doll. I don't know.
Well, we go back to base where Daddy's like, stop. A what now? Because they're like, yeah, the blending. And he's like, what? Like, is this more lore? Like, what are you talking about?
And Carter's like, no, I would know. As somebody who is Jalinar, I feel like more than you. Listen, I'm going to Tok'ra explain to you what it's like to be Tok'ra from when I was Jalinar. Because you, Tok'ra, need to hear it. Only because he's a gaslighting motherfucker. I think he knows what she's saying. Which is that, like, the emotional shit's real. It leaves an imprint. It gets in there. It mixes up.
Well, she feels strongly about it. So she's like, we are pretty certain that they're there. They're at this outpost, Ball's outpost. That's where they're at. That's where O'Neill's at.
That's the conclusion. Is we go around the table, the whole gate gang's like, yep. And Daddy's like, oh, well.
Well.
not in a mean way, but just in a like, well, a little bit though, because he's seen this, the way he has seen his kiddos save the world, and the fact that he's not like, why don't y'all put your heads together and see if you can think of a way in or out? He's just like, too bad there's no way in or out. So that's the end of that.
Apparently the outpost is very heavily defended. And Torin is like, yeah, no, it's just not possible. And Daddy's like, well, yeah, probably not. But the gang's like, no, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. And at this point, which reminds me, I was like, why isn't Daniel Jackson, you know, kind of lurking, spying around at the gate gang to see if they have a plan so he can stop trying to ascend Jack? I mean, McNeil. I mean, just to have the info. right? Just so he knows he's taking.
Yeah. O'Neill asked. He was like, "Recon, you're a ghost. This is amazing."
Yeah, and he's like,
"Make yourself a military asset, please."
Yeah, because he was just like, "Go look in the hallway." Yeah, and he was like, "No can doozio." But yeah. we're gonna find out later. He does go
and
spy on the Gate Gang. So, dude, fuck Daniel Jackson.
No, yeah.
It's so annoying when McNeil thanks him at the end of the episode, although he did see him through a hard spot.
Mm-hmm.
Might not have made it without that moral support. It was just fucking annoying, weird moral support. What Daniel Jackson had to offer was moralizing support.
Well, I got next that the gang are, well, I got Till Kelnor Reaming.
Yeah, I got that too. And he's like, and he just has a very obvious aha.
Oh, yeah. I left the oven on face.
I left the oven on, and we've got to harness the power of the system lords.
Okay.
Because we need a mothership.
This is a pretty good idea. This is a pretty good idea.
Oh, isn't it? Listen, I don't know, having seen the whole episode, how you're like, it's a pretty good idea.
I mean, that, yeah, they're like, well, because daddy's like, well, we don't got one of those, Tilk. And he's like, but we know people who do. And so, well, they're basically just going to give information to one of the Gold Wolves. Hey, this is where Ball's outpost is.
Right. And then we see, right, because, oh, by the way, this outpost where he's doing all these like sort of like war machine torture experiment kind of war camp stuff is secret from all the other system lords. So they're going to feel very threatened if they find out about it. And we do see real quick, we just see McNeil being dumped in his weird cell pit, and he's just like, Daniel, and that's all by himself. And we're going to go back to the base and find out that everybody's on board. They are all willing to T-bone the Tok'ra in order to save McNeil. Mm-hmm. Obviously. So here's the thing. They went to the Tok'ra and told them about their plan to save McNeil. And for all they know, Kanan.
Mm.
And the Tok'ra's attitude is like, this is why we don't tell you anything. And I could not hate the Tok'ra more than I hate the Tok'ra. Mm-hmm. Fuck them. That is so bullshit. This is the every other time they've withheld information, it has fucked everything up more. And the one time they're like, well, we don't like what you're doing. They're like, this is why we don't tell you stuff. You're so immature. You're so irresponsible. This is why I don't let you see the bank balance. Like, it's just so, ugh. Let's get out of this abusive relationship.
Yeah, daddy's ready to do it. He's like, yeah, daddy, I don't give a shit.
Daddy knows his worth. He's like, they need us more than we need them.
Well, yeah, they did it. They contacted you.
My favorite system lord.
Yeah, yeah, they gave him the plans. They gave him the location. And, mm-hmm. and the perfect thing about this plan is that they don't got to do shit.
No, I know. And they like basically made it clear, like, you need to destroy these power generators, which we know because Jonas Quinn was like, but why does that need to happen first? And he was like, to give him a fighting chance.
Yeah, O'Neill will take care of it.
Except for he guessed he wouldn't have known what was happening. Like, this is such a like a good slash difficult scene because, you know, he's been tortured again and DJ comes back and it's very, you know, McNeil's like, you were gone.
Yeah.
It is such like an intense sort of heartbreaking accusation. Mm-hmm. And also lamentation. It's so sad. And he's like, but I'm back. And he's just like, dude, you've got to fucking end this, because he's like, I am going, if I have to go back in there one more time, I am going to tell this motherfucker the truth. Mm-hmm. Which I'm surprised these cells aren't bugged, by the way.
Sure. Yeah.
But anyways, he's like, I'm going to tell him the truth. And that's that Kanan loved her. And if I do that, what's being done to me is going to be done to her. And I don't want to do that, but I'm definitely going to do that if I have to go back in there. Which I guess like what we learned from this episode is like what we learned from all TV at this time is torture works. So go forth. God, it's not as bad as 24, but anyways, so he did love her, which is great. I'm so happy about that.
Yeah.
This is where we find out Danny Jackson did indeed spy.
Yeah, he did a little bit of recon.
He's like, motherfucker, don't worry, there's a plan afoot.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's totally interfering, doing some helping. Like, he's letting Jack know that, yeah, just get ready. There's something going to happen. Not from something I did.
I wonder if he's going to get in a little bit of trouble. Because, like, first of all, when the power, like, generators go down, McDill doesn't know what the hell is happening because he's so disoriented and fucked up. Daniel Jackson has to say, dude, run, because the power, this is your shot. And so what's great, he runs by the cell of Pixie Cut and he grabs a Lothar Pixie Cut.
Oh yeah. Well, he beats the shit out of the dude from Smash Mouth, Jaffa.
Yeah. Fuck that guy.
It's the Zat.
Also, though, I'm surprised that the Lothar wasn't already being tortured.
Oh,
like maybe he thought, oh, she was an innocent victim who was being kidnapped.
I mean, in their last torture session, I mean, Ball basically gets all the information. Like, he knows the Lothar, he mentions her. And so maybe they just put her in prison.
Oh, maybe they
ready
just
to
put
do
her
stuff.
Down.
But maybe. No, she's there. She's real this time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
O'Neill grabs her.
All corporeal and shit.
And then a white light occurs, a white transition. And
oh yeah, we don't actually get to see how he escapes. We don't need to know if he got a ship. We don't need to know if the gate gang picked him up. We don't need to know if the Tok'ra picked him. We don't need to know jack shit. We just need to know Jack in infirmary. That's all we need. And we just get a quick little summary.
I am so disappointed.
That was weird. It was a lot. It was pretty weird
it
how
made
that happened.
Me really mad.
But can we just say, I just want to say, when he grabs the Lothar and he's like, come with me, and pulls her out and he's got her by the hand and they run around the corner, the cutest thing in the world is she daintily grabs one side of her skirt and holds it out to the side like a lady as she runs around the corner. And I'm just like, what? Adorable. Okay. Oh, by the way, when he kicked the shit out of that guy, I was like, is he sarcophagus strong?
I mean, yeah, like, he beats the shit out of him.
I think he beat that guy to death. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that guy has a symbiote.
Yeah.
So, and I was like, is he sarcophagus addicted? And yes, we find out.
Maybe a little bit, yeah.
They're like, he's going to have withdrawal. And they're all talking about how, oh yeah, Pixie Cut is going to stay with the Tok'ra. And I was wondering, like, was Kanan going to, like, host with her? Like, what would that be like to be in love and be in one body together? Good or bad? I mean, maybe awesome. I could see it being awesome. McNeil thanks Carter. I don't know why. He looks at Carter and thanks Carter. And she goes, oh no, it was the whole group's idea. And I was like, bitch, it was Teal'c's idea. The whole entire thing was Teal'c's idea. What the fuck are you doing?
They all worked very hard. All
don't
their,
act
they
humble,
did homework.
Like, oh no, humbly, I want to say it's an ensemble cast. Just like be like, listen, Teal'c's the lead. I'm not the lead humbly saying, oh, it's an ensemble effort. It's Teal'c. You're in the chorus. Jesus. So DJ comes to visit again.
Oh yeah. Just saying goodbye over again. Oh man.
Can he stick around? He's like, man, I can't stick around. There's scripts,
I gotta work
there's
meeting.
Monies, there's contracts, maybe boredom with this character. I don't know.
But don't worry, I'll probably be back.
Well, he's like special occasions.
Season 7.
So McNeil's like, Christmas? No. That's not part of my cult.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't do that. Celebrate Groundhog Day, and that's about it.
Groundhog Day was actually funny. That was kind of funny when he's like, Groundhog Day, because this was the worst Groundhog Day ever. So were you comforted by this?
You know what? I have to say no. I have to say no by this episode.
Oh, that's devastating. Tell us why.
Well, one, Daniel's character. I'm just like, this is horrible. He's turned. Mm-hmm. He's a Scientology level 4.
Dude, that's sanctimonious fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just kind of, I don't know. It's just weird that they didn't just cut it off. They just didn't cut off DJ. It's weird how
I know.
They gave
I don't,
that out.
Yeah. I don't really respect this effort from that character. I just don't, because as much as you're like, oh, I get it, he's ascended and he is like coming from like a higher plane of existence, I'm like, fuck that. If you were in McNeil's shoes, how the fuck would you feel about your fucking friend? Mm-hmm. And they're like, I can only help you if you join my cult.
Yeah. And then also just, missing the escape. Like I was really thrown off. I was like, I would have liked to see that. And I didn't. So that's just, it was just kind of off.
Do you think it could have been a two-parter or a one and a half parter?
Oh, well, I don't know. Yeah.
Or, you know, it could have been one cool episode if there'd been no Daniel Jackson.
That could have been the case, actually. That really could have been the case.
It would take up a lot of time. Although I like, it's funny because I enjoyed some of their scenes together, but I did not enjoy him. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed McNeil in those scenes like crazy.
Oh, well, so that's me. What about you, Sarah? Okay. Were you comforted?
I will tell you, I will say, I would love to know, and I guess I could Google this because I don't have the Facebook, but like, I would love to know how other people feel about Daniel Jackson at this point. Like, I don't remember if I was even watching it at this point when it aired before, but I want to know, like, if people were like, oh, cool, Daniel Jackson was on, or were they like, fuck this motherfucker, what is this horse shit? Or they were like, that was amazing, I'm not even thinking about it like that because I'm just enjoying my shit and I don't have to go talk about it on a podcast. I would love to know. But yes, I will say, yes, I was comforted. The episode, I felt sad for Kanan's lady friend, but I understand how they did this, like, because I had all these questions. I was like, last episode, I was like, where's McNeil? What's happening with McNeil? What's that going to be like when he's got a quote snake in him? You know, he fucking hates that shit. I want to see it. And I understand that they kind of had to do it this way, so we never saw McNeil like that, because it would kind of ruin it. Can you imagine seeing him as that? I think they could have done it. But so I was a little disappointed that we never did see that. We never got to speak to, there's no like real complication. I mean, this was a pretty big complication, but there was no like, he's in my body complication with Kanan. You know, so I had some questions like that. Like, I wanted to see more things like that. But I will say, and also, what's it going to be like for that lady to be living with a Topra? Because they're the worst and they think humans are stupid. She'll probably just eventually, I guess, become a host.
Yeah, probably.
I'd kind of be like, I would love it if you could host me before I turn 37.
No, she's waiting for Kanan to come back. She'll just be like a weird,
He's a fossil. He's being fossil.
He's drying out in the sun.
Yeah, he's like making quite a reek. Like, if you've ever opened your fridge and they're like, oh, those cooked shrimp have gone bad. Mm. Yeah, I was comforted though. I thought it was a very interesting episode. And I thought the opportunities to watch, and I just like respectfully call him his name, Richard Dean Anderson, act and not just be this like comedian sort of in the background was so good. Like, holy shit. Like, what an underrated fucking actor that I wish was in more good stuff that I could go watch.
Well, and you had both. Because he had a lot of cool comedic moments, a lot of cool lines. Yeah. But then,
he was able to be funny while he was being deep. I like him so much. I'm just like, is there like, hey guys, I could IMDb this, but are there like some good movies with him in it? Or is like, it just MacGyver and Stargate? I was comforted 100%.
Well, did you also find some characters that you related to in some ways? Did you find a yeah who you'd like to be? A neh, you definitely don't want to be them ever. No way. Or a meh, yeah, maybe from time to time. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think, as you know, when I watch TV, I do tend to think in this terms of which character do I the least want to be or the most want to be in this episode. And my yeah is Jonas Quinn. Listen, he hardly even knows McNeil. Mm-hmm. And so this was like more of like a puzzle to solve to him. And he never had to do anything super dangerous to solve it. What a great day. But he got to be part of the team. Win. But never was probably as sick to his stomach as like the other people. Mm-hmm. My meh is Lothar, because that sucks that Kanan's dead. That's devastating. But at least she's also not a Lothar anymore. And then my meh is McNeil, because Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
He goes to Antarctica. He contracts some kind of like crazy men and like prehistoric meningitis. He's the only motherfucker who doesn't get cured. He has to take on a symbiote. He finds himself like, he's like, what? I just woke up. The last thing I knew, I was running a high fever and being pushed and doing some weird shit to stay alive. The next thing I know, I'm on this magnetic web with acid going through my shirt. What in the ever loving fuck? That guy cannot be okay. How about you?
Almost exactly the same. My Nez is also McNeil for, all those reasons. My Met is also the Lothar, which is the same thing. She escaped. It's great. But now has to hang out with the Tok'ra. It's no good. And then my Ye is the gang in Toto. Because they all really just got to hang out.
It's a cakewalk episode. Yeah, it's a cakewalk episode.
And save the day.
I know. Getting to save the day without like having any adrenaline course through your veins. Nice.
That
I mean, my yay should be Sam Carter for looking like she's humbly avoiding credit for something Teal'c did.
This is what this. Let's put this on Teal'c's belt.
Yeah,
hanging up next. This one
belongs to Teal'c. Oh, I wish we had like a little score of like who really saved the day the most times. I don't want to go back and watch them all now to find out.
It'll just be 30 slashes for Carter and then like 2 for everybody else.
Yeah. Fair. The Kalonan government contacts the SGC to reestablish relations since they are near a war. They need military technology to defend themselves, and they propose the trade for Nequadria. The SG-1 has a meeting with 3 Kalonan representatives, and one of them, Dr. Kieran, was the mentor of Jonas. They disclose that they have an Nequadria bomb that will be used if they do not acquire defense technology. Later, Dr. Kieran has a private meeting with Jonas and discloses the existence of a resistance movement to the government. The SG-1 travels to the planet to decide what they should do to avoid the war and get the Nequadria.
Oh, shit.
Good Lord.
Damn. Okay.
This is going to be quite a motherfucking episode. Motherfucking next time. All right.
Sweet. And apparently it has Dean Stockwell.
Yes. Thank you. Dean Stockwell.
Al. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I can't remember what number he is. What?
Like 2 or 3 or something like that.
Yeah. He's like up there. He's like, I feel like Boomer is 3.
Nice.
I feel like,
gotta rewatch that show. Fuck.
Is what's her name? Xena is 3. I can't remember.
All right.
Come try ya. Got anything?
Come try a BSG.
Oh, yeah. Come try Battlestar Galactica. That's some good shit. Love it. Come try a different show.
It was incredible, but I got to revisit. I only watched it the one time when it was going.
You know, I have an idea. When we're over halfway through this Stargate stuff.
Totally.
We're going to do some bonus episodes to explore Atlantis, because I watched 2.5 episodes and was like, I don't know about this.
Oh, God.
So we're going to poke around. Maybe some random episodes to see if it's something we want to do, but maybe we just do Battlestar Galactica. Maybe I'm like, sorry, we only do sci-fi shows where the names are all like letters and numbers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I would love to talk about Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
Like, I love the fuck out of that series. What do you think?
Yeah, we could do that. I mean, shouldn't do Atlantis until after season 8. So that's a bit a ways away.
Or like, I meant like after. I meant instead of Atlantis, we could be a
team. I'm saying, we'll still do the Atlantis one, but it's going to be a bit. So in the meantime.
Yeah. Oh, in the meantime, you want to do some BSG? I was thinking we would test out Atlantis to verify that there was no way we were going to do it, and then we could move on to BSG.
Oh, God.
You know, we have so much time to figure it out. So, so come try a Battlestar Galactica. All right. Thanks for sticking around for that. We are going to move on to our... how many segments do we have, Tori?
Just say the last one. I don't know. Five?
Okay.
Our
19th and final segment.
Yeah.
Get to know your host. With Sarah and Tori, or Tori and Sarah. Mm-hmm. We are still going through the viral on TikTok life story interview kit.
Oh.
To see if it's something you really should bring to your elders to get people talking. And we are still on section later life and reflection. Are you ready, Tori, for this week's question?
Oh, wait. Just real quick. Like, is that our ultimate goal, where we want to give a review and be like, should you give this to the elders?
I'm trying to decide if I give this to my stepfather. Yes.
Because right now I'm a no. I'm a no. Definitely.
I'm a firm no from question one, which is like, how do you want people to talk about you at your fucking funeral?
Well, and question two. I thought that
was question two.
I can't remember, but I remember.
What do you like most about your generation? Or was that?
Oh, well, yeah. Well,
oh, no. It's like, what are some of your strongest held beliefs?
Hey, you're getting old and you probably said a bunch of shit about the Zoomers. Maybe try to say something nice about them. Maybe say something nice about them before you die. That's how that felt to me. It's like, okay,
That's true. I really feel like you do not need anybody to say what they like about their own generation. Because literally everybody thinks their generation is the best, except for millennials, which I feel kind of bad for them because they have a bit of a like an anti-chip on their shoulder. They're like, no, you're right.
But who do they like more?
Do they give props to anybody? Well, some of them are trying to squeeze up into Gen X, and some of them are like, maybe I'm like, they're all trying to say they're Zennials, either with an X or a Z.
They're trying to go in either direction, whatever they're closest to.
Millennials, for all of like most of their adolescence and early adulthood, just got nonstop shit on by every media possible. They are the least conceited generation imaginable. Like Gen Z were to get on social media and come after Gen X's fashion, we'd be like, bitch, I don't give a fuck what you think.
Yeah.
Millennials are like, really? Middle parts? Fuck. I have so many skinny jeans. I don't want to get rid of those. And I'm like, dude, I got wide leg jeans, straight leg jeans, skinny leg jeans. Fuck off. I wear whatever the fuck I feel like wearing.
Okay. All right. Firm no right now, but let's hear this third question.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you disagree, let us know at verticalwateringhole@gmail.com. All right. Tori.
Yeah.
What makes you feel the most alive? I know. I read it and I was like, maybe I pick a different card. What makes everyone feel the most alive? A little death, as they call it.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah.
You know that's the French? Somebody calls that a little, they call them little deaths.
Yes.
Orgasms.
Yes, whatever. Oh, I was going to try to keep subtle, but.
I was worried you didn't get it.
That is immediately what came to mind, though.
Yeah, me too. like, okay, well, let's be honest then. What makes you feel most alive? Good orgasms.
Sex.
All right, well, that was easy. So I'm going to say a firm no. on giving this
no,
to
no,
my
everyone,
stepfather.
Everyone, buy this at your local online Amazon outlet.
TikTok.
Ask your elders these questions.
Take it directly to your parents.
Yep. Please do that. Let us know how it goes.
Yeah, don't. Don't just do it. Oh, man. All right. Well, that's that. Now that's the gratitude segment. Our real last segment. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. We're ready to, we're going to little death all over all of you.
Dude, I can't motherfucking believe anybody motherfucking listens to this motherfucking podcast. I think it's motherfucking fantastic. Thank you.
And you can listen to more episodes at our website, theseventhsymbol.com, or you can listen, you know, to where you're listening now. But we're everywhere, Apple, Spotify, Google Play, etc.
We're everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Daniel Jackson. creepy, isn't it?
And you could also join our cult at patreon.com/sgfun. We can listen to some bonus episodes. We'll have some polls up on some episodes, etc. Maybe Battlestar Galactica.
Maybe. And maybe Atlantis. Our cult dues are so relatively cheap.
They're pretty nil.
Like, we're never going to be but can you take out credit cards? Have you asked your family? Have you asked your friends? Have you asked your coworkers?
Your thetan levels will rise.
Yeah, ours are, you'll ascend and shit, but ours are $5 a month.
Super, super cheap.
So cheap. I'm cheap. Are you cheap, Tori? I mean, we're cheap. So if you're cheap, it's only $5 a month. Don't worry about it. You can still be cheap and contribute. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, everybody.
Holy Hannah.
Hannah.
Holy Hannah. Oh. Holy Hannah. Holy Hannah. Holy Hannah. Bye.
HH.
There's nothing physically wrong with them, really.